to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to this very special episode of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. It is Monday night around 9 p.m. I am joined here by Tom Ernesty. Tom, how are you doing today?
Oh, Mike, outside of this awful pandemic that is occurring, I couldn't be happier right now as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, especially with all these projected deals that are happening during the tampering time frame, which let's just start free agency now. Get rid of the stupid tampering period and just move forward. But this was a incredible day as a Dolphins fan, as you watch your team completely dismember the roster last year. And Brian Flores is now bringing the players that he covets for his defense, as well as the overall roster. And Mike, I have to say, this has been probably one of the best days the Dolphins have ever had in free agency.
Yes, and it's been the most exciting day as a fan of the Miami Dolphins, probably in about 14 or 15 months, because the day they fired Adam Gase last January 2019, and then obviously when they hired Flores in February after the Patriots won the Super Bowl, you know, the plan was laid out by the owner, it was laid out by Chris Greer. This is going to be a rebuild. It's going to be a lot of short-term pain, and there was short-term pain last year. Yes, they beat the Patriots week 17, but aside from that, the 2019 season was a miserable season, starting with, you know, last year this time, Miami just pretty much got rid of everybody and didn't make any moves. I mean, they didn't sign anybody of any significance. They pretty much took off free agency and did nothing. They came to the draft. Yeah, they made their picks, but that was about it. And then it went to the season. Well, then it went into the season. They traded Laremy Tunsil. They traded Minkah Fitzpatrick. And then in season, they start off, what, 0-6, 0-7? It was just misery. Months and months and months of misery being a fan of the Miami Dolphins. And then, you know, they win a few games, but whatever. They won a few games. The team still stunk overall. And there wasn't much to smile or be happy about. And today, this was, you know, it's not the end goal, but it's the first step of what all their pain was for, was to have a day like today, the first day of the legal tampering period, which, if I'm the NFL, get rid of this legal tampering period. Nobody takes it seriously, and everyone's just coming to terms on deals, which just becomes a formality on Wednesday when they put pen to paper. Get rid of it. But that's another story. And they signed today, what, 1, 2, 3, 4. At the time, we are recording 5 players, and I think 2 of which are grand slams, and I think 2 of which are solid signings as well. So, you know, this is what we've been waiting for. And, you know, as a fan of the Dolphins, you know, this day, you can point to this day as a day, you know, maybe we started to turn the ship around. We added some, you know, legit players to this roster, some proven players to this roster. And it's only day one. We're not done yet. There's still more to come. This is just day one of the tampering period. It's not even day one of free agency. So let's get right to it. Let's do this in chronological order. It's probably the best. So this afternoon, the first sort of domino to fall was the Miami Dolphins announced they reached terms with offensive guard Eric Flowers on a 3-year deal worth $30 million with $19.5 million guaranteed. Flowers from Miami, went to college at the University of Miami. He's coming home. Former first-round pick with the Giants. He was terrible with the Giants at offensive tackle, right and left. Goes to Washington, finds a home at left guard, and played very well last year. Mind you, it was just a 1-year sample size. But this deal, when you have as much salary cap space as Miami, this deal doesn't break the bank. It doesn't put you in salary cap hell. It's not a bad contract. Tom, what are your thoughts on the Eric Flores deal?
On the Flowers signing, Mike,
It's
close enough. It was a good deal for the Dolphins. And the reason I say that is Eric Flowers had a very rough start to his career in New York. They had him as a left tackle. He was a left tackle with the Hurricanes. He struggled mightily at left tackle for 3 years for the Giants. The Giants let him go. Okay? He goes to Washington last year as a free agent, signs a short-term one-year deal, very little money. I think it was like $3 or $4 million. The Redskins move him inside to guard. And the way that this worked out for the Redskins in weeks 1 through 8 with Eric Flowers, he committed 5 penalties. And per Pro Football Focus, which again, you don't take too much solace in it, but it kind of gives you a level of play idea based on their grading system. He had one game with a pass blocking grade over 70. And 70 is right at that, you know, above average tier for them. So weeks 1 through 8, he wasn't great. He wasn't very good. Weeks 9 through 17, something happened. He only committed 1 penalty, and he only had one game with a pass blocking grade below 70. So he's trending in the right direction in the last 8 weeks of the season. He's coming on a very cheap deal. And I say cheap. You look at it, $330, it's a cheap deal. He's only getting $20 million guaranteed. And the way that the Dolphins have structured these deals, it's heavily front-loaded for 2 years. Okay? So the fact that they're front-loading the contract, it's an easy out. And with Eric Flowers and the potential of this coaching staff and the way that Brian Flores is able to help these guys elevate their play to match the system, Flowers could be a steal at $10 million. But we have to wait to see the rest of the contract. So this is a B signing for the Miami Dolphins. I give it a B grade, because if he pans out and he works out well, there's no telling how good he could be. And he's 25 years old, which fits the mold of what the Dolphins want to do.
Yep, absolutely. And with this offensive line, look, free agency, how it played out on this first day in this legal tampering period day. The offensive tackles went flying. You know, they got paid. The quality offensive linemen, the people everyone wanted, got big paydays. You know, Jack Conklin went to the Browns for a huge payday. Graham Glasgow, he didn't get as much as I thought he'd get, and I'm kind of surprised Miami wasn't in on him, but he went to the Broncos. That might have been a preference thing by the player to actually head there instead of Miami. Who knows how that played out. You had the offensive tackle from the Eagles, went to the Lions. The offensive lineman, you know, and then you had, of course, Joe Thuney get franchise tagged by the Patriots. The offensive lineman, you know, they were in, you know, everyone wanted them, and some of them got the franchise tag. So Miami, unless they were going to break the bank for someone, which, as I was saying for weeks, odds are, you know, yes, they ended up paying one guy big money, but they weren't going to do that with multiple players. And when it came to the offensive line, that's not what they did. So the first move on the offensive line was to get a guard, pay him fair market value, younger player, who they can sort of pencil in now at left guard. And, you know, you sort of not worry about that spot right now. And now they can look towards the rest of the line here, whether in the draft and in free agency, and sort of put that together. But, you know, you can't – I know some people were just, you know, livid with the Eric Flowers move. Eric Flowers isn't playing tackle. He can't play tackle in this league. Now, in a pinch, God forbid, a bunch of people get hurt from Miami, it's nice to know you can slide him out there, and at least he will, you know, hold down the fort on some level, I guess. But Eric Flowers is a left guard, and that's where he got this money in this deal playing for Washington last year. And, you know, good for Miami. You know, they didn't – you know, this is not a bad signing. And it's not one that puts them in salary cap hell or anything. Look, you want to pay a guard, this is what it is. Because there's only so many guys out there at guard, and they're getting scooped up quick, or they're getting the franchise tag on them. So can't be upset with the Eric Flowers signing. And it's just the first move on this revamping of the offensive line. Let's see what else they do, and let's see what some of the pieces they put around them are when all is said and done. But, you know, you can't have, you know, guys making $20 million on your offensive line across the board. That wasn't going to happen. So now you have one guy here, 3 years, $30 million, 19.5 guaranteed. Thumbs up from me. A few hours later, Miami signs, or they come to terms with, Shaq Lawson, defensive end from the Bills. Again, another former first-round pick who didn't live up to the expectations. 3-year deal worth $30 million. No word yet on the amount that is guaranteed, or I haven't seen it if it is time. I don't know if you've seen it. 3 years for $30 million. He had 6.5 sacks last year with the Bills. This was a kid who, when he was picked in round one, missed his rookie season because of a shoulder injury. And he is now back with his old coach from Clemson, Marion Hobby, in Miami. Tom, what are your thoughts on the Shaq Lawson deal?
The Shaq Lawson deal, I am a huge fan of, and I'll give a couple of reasons. Number one, the contract actually mirrors Eric Flowers' deal. It's a $330 with about $20 million in guaranteed for Shaq Lawson. Number two, he has escalators that can make this contract essentially a $336 if he can hit his incentive numbers. The other big piece to this, and I talked about it in my free agency article, he fits what Brian Flores wants to do, and there is a tie there with Marion Hobby. Marion Hobby played a big role in Shaq Lawson's career at Clemson. He now comes to Miami with Marion Hobby there, and Brian Flores is looking for the most important thing out of his edge players. Can Shaq Lawson get after the quarterback? The answer is yes. He can get after the quarterback. He had 7 sacks last year and only 480 or so snaps played because he was in quite a rotation in Buffalo. Can he also set the edge? The big answer there is yes. He wants his edge guys to be able to set the edge to force the running backs into bad situations, to, you know, force negative plays, force the plays to the outside or cut it back inside where there's a linebacker or a free safety or strong safety waiting for that runner. And Shaq Lawson is going to be able to provide that for Brian Flores. And with Marion Hobby there at the helm, controlling the defensive line, playing next to Christian Wilkins, who was from Clemson, there's a strong chance that Lawson is going to be an every down edge rusher, and he provides more depth for the Dolphins and a better rotational guy, but I don't think we'll see him play 480. We're going to see him play a lot more snaps on defense, but this was an absolute great signing and a prove it deal for a 26-year-old player in Shaq Lawson. This is another
Tom, I have to cut you off. We have some news. We have breaking news here. As we are recording this about 9:30 on Monday night, there has been 2 reports now out of Boston, Massachusetts. And this one that has just dropped is from WEEI, the sports monster radio station up there in Boston, is saying that the Miami Dolphins are very interested in Tom Brady. This is the second report out of that area. The first one was from Mike Lynch, the ABC sports anchor. This one's from WEEI. WEEI hosts a weekly radio show with Tom Brady each and every week and half for many years. If they would know, if something will break on Tom Brady, it would come from WEEI. So we're going to talk about this at the end of the podcast more, but I had to stop you right now and just let you know. WEEI out of Boston, ABC out of Boston is reporting that the Miami Dolphins are very interested in Tom Brady, and we might have, you know, earth-shattering news here coming in the next, let's just say 24 hours, if not sooner, that Tom Brady, you know, might be in talks here, sounds like, with the Miami Dolphins.
Wow. Okay. So,
let's save it for the end of the podcast because let's get through the rest. That's just 2 reports. I wanted to mention it now, though, because it just broke as you were talking, and it's worth mentioning, and we'll talk about that more at the end of the podcast. Unless he signs before the end of this podcast, then we'll just drop everything and go into Tom Brady. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, solid B signing again by the Dolphins on Shaq Lawson to pick up where we left off. And, you know, he's going to be a good, versatile defensive lineman. He can probably play a little bit inside if he needs to in a 3-4 set. But he is he's a solid signing at that kind of dollar amount.
Yeah. Okay, then that happened, I would say, early morning-ish on Monday. Then it was quiet for a bit. Then around 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m., the bombshell broke. Well, what would be called the bombshell up until this point. The Miami Dolphins got the prized cornerback on the open market, Byron Jones from the Cowboys. 5 years, $85.2 million, $57 million guaranteed, with $40 million of the guaranteed money in years 1 and 2. Byron Jones next to Xavien Howard. Now, there's been talks that with the signing, Miami might look to trade Howard, maybe use him as a chip to move up in round 1 to maybe go from 5 to 2 or 5 to 3. Maybe you can use Xavien Howard as a chip now. We don't know. That time will tell on that. But as of right now, You're the Miami Dolphins. You have the two highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. Byron Jones started off as a safety, moved to cornerback in 2018, and has been a spectacular cornerback since making that move. He doesn't get interceptions. That's the knock on him. But you would think, lining up now next to Xavier Howard, they're going to have to throw to one of these two, and maybe the interceptions will come for Byron Jones. Tom, what are your thoughts on Byron Jones?
I'm shocked, Mike. I'm shocked. I went into this after the first two deals of the day. It's like, all right, the Dolphins are getting those mid-tier players, guys that will fit the system, and this news broke. And it's not that I'm not angry about it. I'm just so shocked that the Dolphins went after Byron Jones because of the philosophy. We're going to be smart but aggressive. But this completely lines up with that mentality. The Dolphins have been smart. They were smart in their first two deals. This deal is also smart. After last season, after Xavier Howard went down, outside of some decent games from Nick Needham and others who are covering, for that depleted team and depleted secondary, they did an admirable job. With Xavier Howard having some knee issues, off-the-field stuff, the Dolphins made a move to sign Byron Jones. And as you said, moving from safety to corner was a great thing for him. Not only that, he can play cover one extremely well, which means you're really just manning up on your guy. And Byron Jones is a elite press defender at the line of scrimmage. So the fact that now going to Miami, where they play more cover one than cover three, you're going to see a lot more man-to-man coverage. And the Dolphins don't really have to play that much zone when you have Xavier Howard on one side, potentially, if he's still with the team. And then you have Byron Jones on the other side of him. Instead, pick your poison. Which way do you want to go? Where do you want to throw the football on the outside to either of these guys? Byron Jones covered some of the best wide receivers in the NFL over the last 2 years playing corner. Think of the matchups against Michael Thomas. Think of the matchups against DeAndre Hopkins, Alshon Jeffrey, Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he's gone against elite wide receivers in this league. Devontae Adams is another name. He's gone against the elite players at that position, and he's held his own almost every single time. And he only gives up about a 54 to 55% completion rate when it's thrown his way, which in NFL terms is very good. And he is probably one of the best lockdown corners that the league has. And he was number one on the board for the Dolphins when it comes to free agency at corner. And now you pair him potentially with Xavier Howard if he's not traded. And the Miami Dolphins have an elite secondary. And Brian Flores loves his cornerbacks. And this was a great signing. Front-loaded deal, $40 million in the first 2 years, so the Dolphins have an out after probably either year three or four if it doesn't pan out. It's a great deal. It puts the Dolphins' defense going into the right direction, and they weren't done, but this deal was a solid A signing for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and the one thing now when you look at Miami secondary with the two safeties, because you look at the cornerbacks, In a perfect world, because they are interchangeable at safety. They don't like to have free safety, strong safety. They just call them safeties. Bobby McCain at one of the safeties. In a perfect world, you would like to slide him back to the nickel cornerback and maybe then draft a safety to pair with Eric Rowe. And I think in a perfect world, that might be is what happens, because I don't like Bobby McCain at safety. I think he's too small. I don't think his body can hold up to the punishment playing safety takes. But right now, you look at the Miami Dolphins secondary, even with McCain at safety, and he can cover folks. And we saw last year with Rowe, he can cover folks. Howard can cover. Jones can cover. They got, if that's their starting four in their secondary, even if they don't move McCain, you got four guys in your secondary who start, who can flat out cover people. Period. End of story. So even if they don't add another safety and move Bobby McCain to the slot, you got guys who can cover in that secondary, which in turn will improve the pass rush. So the Jones, I didn't think they, I have been saying for weeks, I didn't think they pay anybody and go for a high ticket item and sort of break the bank. But if you are going to do it, you want to do it on one, as we always say, the four premium positions: quarterback, offensive tackle, pass rusher, cornerback. Jones is cornerback. I have no problem. If you're going to break the bank for somebody, break it for him. I have no problem with that. So next move, bit of a smaller move, and I've never even heard of this guy. I'm not going to lie. The Miami Dolphins signed free agent safety slash special teams player Clayton, and I'm not going to say the last name wrong, Clayton Fettelhem, and that's probably wrong, to a three-year deal, $8.55 million, $3 million guaranteed. This guy was brought in to essentially replace Walt Akins. He's a special teams captain. He's a special teams ace, and he can play safety better than Walt Akins. Not going to spend a ton of time on the signing, but that's essentially what the signing was. Tom, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is pretty much going to end the tenure of Walt Akins here with the Dolphins, as he's an unrestricted free agent. Can he still come back? Sure, but you kind of already signed a mere player, but a better role player. I mean, Walt Akins was fantastic in his role with the Dolphins. As a safety, not so much. But as a special teams role player, I loved Walt Akins. I thought he was a very good player for this team. The Dolphins just decided to move into another direction. This kid in Cincinnati did a great job. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name because I'll butcher it like I had Tua for a long time. But he did. He's a good football player. He's going to be a special teams ace. He's the quote unquote Matthew Slater for Brian Flores. That's pretty much how we can put it. That's who this kid is going to be. It's a 3-year deal. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And, I think it was a solid signing. I haven't really watched the player that much to give it to really know the grade. But, to replace Walt Akins, it's a solid, I think it's a B-minus move. It was a good move. And we'll see how it pays dividends.
Yeah, and sometimes Walt Akins has been in Miami for many, many years. And sometimes, it's just time to mix it up. And when you're talking about a backup safety special teams guy, it's okay to mix this up. It's not a huge deal. Then came my favorite signing of the day. Tom, I've been pounding the table for this guy ever since the offseason began. I wanted this guy. I love this guy, how he plays. The Miami Dolphins signed outside linebacker Kyle Vannoy, 2A, 4-year, $51 million deal, $30 million guaranteed. If I had to guess, probably in the first 2 years, that money is front-loaded. But we don't know that for 100% certainty. Kyle Vannoy, to me, is one of those guys who does it all. He does things that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but then when you look at the stat sheet, he does things that do show up in the stat sheet. He was drafted by the Lions in 2016 and then traded to the Patriots. And ever since he went to New England, he has been a superstar. He obviously knows what Brian Flores is going to do on defense. He's used to that system. Should be no adjustment there. He can get after the quarterback. He had 6.5 sacks last year. He can drop back in coverage, and he can cover guys. He can play in space. He does it all. He's one of those guys who you want on your team because no matter what you ask him to do, he's going to do it and do it well. And I think back, Tom, to a couple years ago with Adam Gase when we looked at our linebacker core, and it was like Mike Hall, Lawrence Timmons, a bunch of nobodies. Nobodies. Unathletic, slow, old players who could not play in this league. And you look at what we have now at linebacker heading into 2020 with Kyle Vannoy, Jerome Baker, Raekwon McMillan, Vince Beagle, Andrew Van Ginkle. It is speed, smart players, guys who have specific roles and they do them well, and guys who can literally get after it at the linebacker spot. And not only do we have guys that start who can play well, we have quality depth at linebacker, which we haven't had since, God, probably the early 80s. And that's not a lie. We have linebackers who can play, and Kyle Vannoy, to me, is the cherry on top of the sundae. I wanted this guy. He was number one on my list because I think he will improve this defense in many ways. Like I said, he can get after the quarterback. He can drop back in coverage. He can do whatever you ask him. And I love this signing. To me, this just made my Monday night. It probably made my offseason because this guy does it all. Tom, if you can top that praise I heaped on him, go for it, because this is my guy.
I can't. You took all the thunder. I love the signing. The age, he's going to be 30 in 3 months. You know, you look at that and you're like, well, wait a minute. They just signed someone who's 25, 25, 26, and 27. This still lines up. Here's the reason why it lines up. This is a guy, like you said, knows the defense. Brian Flores loved Kyle Van Noy in New England. Van Noy thrived with Brian Flores in New England. When you look at his season in 2018, he had 68 tackles. He had 4 sacks. But the guy, like you said, he did everything. Everything that you could want him to do, he does. And that's what Brian Flores wants. He wants athletic linebackers who can get after the quarterback, who can cover players. And he, you know, Kyle Van Noy is a guy that, you know, he's not going to be out covering tight ends all the time, but if you ask him to do it, he's going to do it. But when you look at the linebacking core as it sets right now, Kyle Van Noy, Jerome Baker, Raekwon McMillan, Andrew Van Ginkle, and potentially a returning Vince Beagle. That is a good group of players. That is, you have your run-stuffing linebacker in Raekwon McMillan. You have athletic linebackers with Van Ginkle, Beagle, Baker, and now Van Noy. So there is so much flexibility in that linebacking group. It's such a great signing, again, for the Dolphins. It's a 4-year deal, $51 million. I think it was around, what, $30 million guaranteed, Mike?
Yep, that's what it is, $30 million guaranteed.
Be rest assured the Dolphins are going to front load that.
Absolutely.
So this move to me signals that the Dolphins, they're not looking at this as like a 2-year window for the team to start winning games. They're looking at this as a 2-year window to continue to build the roster, because if these don't work out, you're going to see the Dolphins sitting at probably $80 to $90 million in cap space in 3 years.
It all depends
on how the actual contract is laid out.
We might look back at today, in a few hours actually, saying there's a reason they're sort of front-loading all these deals in year one and two, because maybe that's the window Tom Brady has. If he were to come to Miami, it'd be a 2-year window. So we might look back and say, oh, that's why they're doing it. But I don't know. We don't know that. And with Van Noy, he will be 29 years old in 10 days. His birthday's March 26th. So in 10 days, happy birthday to Kyle Van Noy. You're a very rich man, so you got a big check on your birthday. So he'll be 29 on March 26th. You know me, Tom, every time we fly down to Miami, I don't buy jerseys or anything. I might buy a Kyle Van Noy jersey this year. I love this guy. He's just one of those guys who does the little things that each team needs. A couple guys like that, that just do the little things that sometimes don't show up. So as of right now, of us recording this, those are the 5 signings, or soon to be signings as of Wednesday, that will of the guys who will be coming to Miami. There's still more to come, but this is only day one. We still have Melvin Gordon out there, or a veteran running back of some level, whether it's Jordan Howard, whether it's Freeman from Atlanta, who was let go today. There's running backs out there. Miami's probably going to sign one. Who? I don't know. Offensive linemen, it got thin real quick, Tom. It really did.
Yes, it
the
did.
The name that's out there that I think Miami has shown interest in is the center from the Patriots. Again, sort of might tie into Brady here. Ted Karras, he's still out there. Miami needs a center. Might be a nice little fit. I said this whole time with the offensive line, Miami doesn't need to sign 3 or 4 offensive linemen in free agency, because with all the picks they have in the draft, they really only need to sign 2 starters. Because Jesse Davis, you can pencil in at right guard or right tackle. So that's 1. That leaves you with 4. If you sign 2 and then you take 2 in rounds 1 and 2 with all their picks, I think you pretty much solved the problem. Now, yes, it would have been nice to get a Jack Conklin. It would have been nice to get a Joe Thuney. It would have been nice. But it's not going to happen. So they had to go to Plan B. And Plan B was Ereck Flowers for 1. And if they can get someone like Ted Karras, or maybe it's someone else that we don't know, who you could pencil in as a starter. And that's what you're doing with Flowers. That's what you would do with Ted Karras, pencil him in as a starter. To me, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, thrilled, but it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. And then you just hit on your draft picks, period. Hit yes. on your draft picks. It's not, and, you know, those are the two spots where you, where we think they'll continue to focus here in free agency. Offensive line, running back, and probably pass rusher as well. Shaq Lawson, not really a guy who's going to get you a lot of sacks, but Van Noy is sort of an edge player who can get you sacks. So the combination of those two, nice addition. They're not done at pass rusher. I did hear on the way home today from work, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, were saying Jacksonville, nobody understands what Jacksonville is trying to do. But with Yannick, the 25-year-old pass rusher, you know, if there was a team who has the assets to make a trade for him, who needs a pass rusher who can get actual sacks, Miami's the fit. And if you're Miami, would you part with pick 26 for Yannick? Tom, I'll ask you. With what they've done so far today, if you're Miami, would you part with pick 26 for Yannick?
Yes.
I would, too. I would, too.
Because you look at the draft, when you look at pass rusher, it's a huge drop-off from Chase Young down to the next tier of guys. It's a huge drop-off in talent. Not that A.J. Espinosa is not a good player. Not that Gross Matos isn't a good player. But they're not Yannick. And Yannick is 24 years old.
Yep, he'll be 25 on March 31st. So a guy
25-year-old guy.
25-year-old guy. And if you look at his stats, they are impressive. I'm just going to run down the sack numbers right here. 2016 as a rookie, 8. Then 12. 9.5, 8. I mean, that's big time production. You line him up opposite, you know, Christian Wilkins, Vinoy, Shaq Lawson. This guy's going to produce. And I'd rather have a sure thing than an unknown. And with all rookies, they're all unknowns. Even guys you take in round one, Yannick's a sure thing. And a pick 26, give me a sure thing. Because look, we all love Chris Greer right now at this moment for some of these moves he's made. His history in the draft ain't exactly the strongest. So I'd rather have a sure thing over pick 26. And to me, I'd make that trade. I don't know. Jacksonville might want more, but okay, let's see what else they would want. But if it were that simple, pick 26 for him, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yep. I do. Before we get into the other news that you just kind of dropped, I do have to say a couple things. Number one, while we have been recording, the Patriots lose another player. Jamie Collins signed with the Detroit Lions, which, again, it's a scheme fit for Detroit. So they got Trey Flowers last year. Now they bring in Jamie Collins. And the other thing, and this makes me laugh, and it makes me smile more than anything else, Mike, the Jets.
I know you're going to say that. I was saving it for the end. Adam Gase and the Jets had the worst day ever. Literally everyone they had targeted, they missed out on. Joe Thuney was their top target. He gets tagged. Then Van Noy, they were talking to him pretty much up until 5 minutes until Miami took him from under their nose. He gets snagged. Graham Glasgow, they were all over Graham Glasgow. He goes to Denver. The Jets whiffed literally on every guy they wanted. And I know they just signed an offensive lineman, Font or Faint. Okay, great. He was probably like eighth on their list of guys that they wanted. And the Jets and Adam Gase had a miserable day. I mean, you couldn't put together a more miserable day than Adam Gase and the Jets had today. And look, it's only the first day of legal tampering period. So it's like, well, they still have time. Yeah, they still have time. But the top of their wish list, they got nobody. They literally got nobody.
Yeah, they missed out on Jack Conklin. They were actually the team that was tied to Conklin through the entire off-season. And Conklin decided to go to the Browns for, 3 years, $42 million?
$42 million, I think, that $30 million in years 1 and 2, which is insane.
That's a lot of money. So Conklin goes to the Browns. And then James Bradberry.
Yes, he was on their list, too.
He was on their list, and he
goes to Giants.
He went to the Giants. So the Jets have whiffed on free agency on day one. I mean, there's still some players out there, but it just goes to show two things. Number one, money doesn't buy everything. And number two, nobody wants to play for Adam Gase.
Word spreads. Players talk. That's why and look, I'm not a big fan of the NBA. No matter what the Knicks offer somebody, nobody wants to go there because nobody wants to play for the owner. And it's the same thing with the Jets. Nobody wants to play for Adam Gase. They saw how Adam Gase treated guys like Jarvis Landry, Jay Ajayi. They saw how he treated some other players in Miami. They saw how he got rid of the general manager last year after the draft, stabbed him in the back. It just goes to show, if you have options, and right now, the day one of the legal tampering period in free agency, most of these players have options. Nobody wants to go there and play for Adam Gase because he's a snake in the grass. He's not a good person. And, you know, I love it because, you know me, I can't stand the son of a bitch. But he can suffer all day up in New York. The Jets can suffer because this was a horrible day for them, a horrible day. And there's no way to put a positive spin on it. But overall, what you saw today in free agency is it does show money is power. In this league, at the end of the day, money is power. And that if you have money to spend, people will come to you. Yes, there are exceptions like the Jets, Adam Gase. That's the exception. That's not the rule. Overall, if you have money, you can get a conversation with any player who's on the open market because they will listen if you can offer the most. And Chris Greer, I mean, for just one day and these five signings that will take place on Wednesday when they become official, he went shopping for one big ticket item. And I don't have a problem with that, taking one big ticket item. He didn't sign four big ticket items, which is something we would have seen in the past from Jeff Ireland, or if Tannenbaum was here somehow in charge, he would have been doing something like that. Chris Greer, he got his one big ticket item, and then he got what I like to call meat and potato signings. Guys like Flowers and Shaq Lawson aren't super sexy, aren't super splashy. They're not going to break the bank, but they're meat and potatoes guys who you need on your roster to be a competent football team. You can't just have all rookies, and you can't just have all old, overpriced veterans. You need those guys between 25 and 30 who are just good, solid players. Not superstars, not guys who are bums, just solid players. You're paying them roughly $10 million a year. That's not going to break the bank. And that's the guys he got. Meat and potatoes guys with Jones. And even Van Noy, they paid him a lot, but it's not like they broke the bank for Van Noy. They got a fair market deal. So, for day one, Chris Greer gets a tip of the cap here from me. I like what he did. Now, we'll see what's going to come. Now, let's get to the big story, because none of us thought this was going to happen. And look, 10 minutes before we started recording, I didn't think this was going to happen. So around 8 o'clock Monday night, there was a report from the ABC sports anchor out of Boston, Mike Lynch, saying Van Noy signed with Miami and Miami is very interested in Tom Brady. Now, outside, if you don't live up there in Boston, you don't know who Mike Lynch is from a hole in the wall, just some sports anchor. I think everyone's like, yeah, whatever. When WEEI, an hour later, like I said, they host a radio show with Tom Brady each and every week and have for many years. They are in the Northeast, up in that area. In New York City, you have WFAN. That's been the sports radio giant. They're the ones who invented sports talk radio. WFAN, Mike and the Mad Dog, all that thing. Everyone knows about WFAN. In Boston, it's EEI, and that's the station. So, and they have ties to Brady. They've been paying him a check for years to come on the radio every Monday and talk about the game from Sunday. So if they're reporting this, which Miami is very interested in Tom Brady, it's not bullshit. Let's just say it that way. And there's legs to this. Now, before I ask you, Tom, here's the 3 points I put up on social media and the 3 points I spoke to you about before we started recording. If you're the Dolphins and this is real and you're in on Tom Brady and you want to sign him, to me it means 3 things. Number one, he's probably going to bring his center with him, Ted Karras. So you could take that to the bank. He's going to bring him with him as center. If he signs with Miami, you can tell Dolphins, I want my center with me. And mind you, he was only a center for 1 year this past year. But knowing Miami's offensive line situation, he's going to want one familiar face on that line. So he's going to tell him, I want Ted Karras. So you can take that to the bank. Ted Karras is coming. That's number one. Number two, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he getting cut. Okay, because it makes no sense to have 42-year-old Tom Brady and 38-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick on the same roster. It makes zero sense on every level. Fitzpatrick, see you later. Out the door. You're on the open market. The third thing, which I know some people might not agree with, I know you won't agree with it. If you sign Tom Brady, you're essentially saying we have a two-year window to win a Super Bowl. And if you sign Tom Brady, your need for a young franchise quarterback gets put on the back burner, in my eyes. So I would think what they would do is say, Josh Rosen, you're a number two quarterback. You keep working as a number two quarterback. And with picks 5, 18, and 26 this year, picks number 39 and picks number 56, we're not looking at guys like Herbert and Tua. You can throw that crap out the window. That gets pushed off to 2021, and that our window's now. And with that pick in round one, we're taking, you know, at pick 5, we're taking an offensive tackle. We're taking Okuda. Well, I don't know about Okuda now. We're taking Simmons. We're taking a position player. At pick 18, we're taking a position player. At pick 26, we're taking a position player. And the same for round two, because you got to build up the roster around. What's the sense of signing Tom Brady if your goal isn't to win the Super Bowl now? So if Miami does end up signing Brady here, and it could happen when we all put our heads down to sleep tonight, and when we wake up in the morning, it could be Tom Brady mania in Miami. Who knows? But what's the point of signing him if your goal is not to win the Super Bowl? Because it's a win-now move, and drafting Herbert or Love, it's a wasted pick. You got to get players to help Tom Brady now. And we can take a quarterback in next year's draft, mind you, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks. We can take, you know, the kid from Ohio State. You probably won't get Lawrence. But one of the quarterbacks in next year's draft, sure. But this would be a win move now, which you don't take a quarterback in round 1 or 2 this year, in my eyes, and you load up on offensive linemen, pass rushers, linebackers, maybe get another wide receiver, and you build around Tom Brady to take a shot at a Lombardi trophy. Tom, your thoughts?
No. I say no. I understand the interest in Tom. It's Tom Brady, for God's sakes. So, yeah, there's going to be interest in Brady. And, you know, Brady's looking at Miami going, it's an interesting opportunity. I get to prove myself without Bill Belichick. I can stick it to the Patriots. You know, so there's a lot of things there for Tom Brady to say yes to Miami. But I'm still in the boat. You didn't bring in 68-year-old Chan Gailey from his retirement home to talk to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady wants control of the offense. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's still going to be the guy when it's all said and done. I think Brady goes and gets his money from Tampa, because Tampa's going to offer a hell of a lot more money than the Dolphins are going to. And I think the same with the Chargers. So with that being said, if Tom Brady were to sign, I'm still not thinking that the Dolphins won't take a quarterback, but they can sit at 5 and take the quarterback at 5. I don't see Josh Rosen as any sort of future long-term in Miami. You know, he's going into year 3 and he's cheap. So yeah, as a backup quarterback, great. But if a guy like Tua's at 5 or Herbert's at 5, you have no problem taking these guys if you have either Fitzpatrick or Tom Brady there, just because why not learn? Why not learn from a guy like Tom Brady? Why not understand, you know, the nuances of the NFL game and NFL defenses than from Tom Brady? I mean, the guy's seen it all. He's won 6 freaking titles. So the guy definitely knows what he's doing. But at 5, I'm not kicking the can down the road. I've preached and preached and preached. Stop kicking the can down the road. You need a quarterback of the future. Tom Brady ain't it. Ryan Fitzpatrick ain't it. Get a quarterback at 5, whether you are in love with Tua or you love Justin Herbert or you love Jordan Love, whatever it is, you need to take the quarterback you feel gives you the best chance long term. Tom Brady's not going to do that. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to do that. And there's no guarantee the Dolphins can be able to trade up with anybody next year to get either Lawrence or Justin Fields. So get a guy you think that can help you and let the chips fall where they may. Because after today, Bill O'Brien is the biggest moron in the history of the NFL after the moves he made. So making the Texans worse, those picks could turn top 10. Could. Yeah, meaning if Deshaun Watson isn't healthy next year and he does get hurt, which I don't want to see because I love Deshaun Watson's game,
But if he does get hurt, the Texans pick is definitely turning top 10.
Yeah. I'm Brady. Two things. I'm not saying I am for the move. I'm just saying if the move happens, that changes Miami's reality. And look, if I had to say, I'd vote no, don't sign Tom Brady. But from all the reports, and these are legitimate people who are putting this out there right now, you know, it might happen. It might happen by morning. It might happen by the time most of you are listening to this. It might have already happened. And if it happens, then that's the new Miami Dolphins reality. Now, when it comes to Rosen, I agree, Rosen's not the future, but you can live with Josh Rosen as your number two quarterback for a year and maybe can down the road a quarterback. We'll see how that plays out. We don't see eye to eye on that. We'll see how that, if this were to happen, we'll see how that plays out. But it is interesting now, as we sit here March 16th, almost 10 o'clock at night as we record this, you know, Tom Brady has very few options right now. San Francisco's out. Tennessee's out. Raiders just signed Marcus Mariota. They're out. Tampa Bay gave him their best offer. He must not love it if he's talking to Miami. And the Chargers, I don't think he wants to go to L.A. and be second fiddle. So, and if he goes to L.A., he's second fiddle to the Rams, period, end of story. So Tom might be looking around the land, because I think one thing's clear. Tom Brady does not want to go back to the Patriots. I think that is clear as down. He might end up back there, but I don't think he wants to go back there. I really don't think he wants to go back there. So he's looking for a landing spot right now where he can get paid and save some face. And looking around the league, you know, if he doesn't want to go to Tampa, if he doesn't want to go to L.A., he's looking at Miami with Flores. And apparently he's very tight with Vannoy. I guess they're very close friends. I didn't know that, but that is apparently true. You know, he might be looking down there and being like, you know what, guys? I'm yours if you want me. And, you know, any team, any owner, they're going to answer a phone from Tom Brady, Tom Brady's agent. They're going to talk to him because it's Tom Brady. And that's just the reality of it. Again, I'm not saying I'm in favor of this signing or move if it were to happen. I'm just saying that's reality. And, you know, this might happen. I mean, if this happens, folks, this puts the Miami Dolphins on a different stratosphere. They are, you know, going to be on Monday Night Football countless times. They're going to be on Sunday Night Football countless times. They're going to be ESPN will have reporters camped out outside Miami, you know, when they can, after this whole thing sort of blows over with the virus. They'll have them camped out in front of Miami, you know, 24/7 till the end of the year. This puts this is as big or on the same scale, maybe even a little bit larger than when LeBron went to the Heat. This is on that type of level, okay? It's on that level because Tom Brady will go down as the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL. I mean, I don't like the guy, but that's just truth. So we'll see. If something breaks, we will have it up on the site. We'll have it on Twitter as quickly as possible. Unless it's at like 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm sleeping, then you're going to have to wait till the next morning. Sorry, folks, I got to sleep at some point. But, yeah, Tom Brady to Miami. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think it would happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it looks like they're at least talking. They're at least talking.
Yeah. You know, one thing I also say is Stephen Ross likes money, a lot of money, and – you know, the schedule is not going to be released for another month or so.
At least
another month. So with that being said, if the Dolphins do decide, hey, here's Tom Brady, we're going to bring him in, how many primetime showings are the Dolphins going to get?
Well,
exposure that the Dolphins need to get back to prominence is big, and it's big business. So from a business perspective, Tom Brady's going to want money. I don't believe the Dolphins want to pay him the money. But at the end of the day, if Stephen Ross says, well, if we get Tom Brady, we're going to get 3 Sunday Night Football games and 2 Monday Night Football games, that's major market material right there for the Dolphins to get them back in the national spotlight.
Okay, so here's the rule in the NFL for primetime games. Prior to the season, a single team cannot have more than 5 games in prime time. That counts Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night. Now, if one in season, if one of those games are flexed, you can have one extra flexed. So you can put a team in prime time no more than 6 times in a year. And you look at the Dolphins, you know, they're going to play 2 games against the Patriots, obviously. Those 2 games you can put out in prime time. You can pencil those in Monday night, Thursday night. So I don't know which weeks they're going to be in prime time. You can take that to the bank. There's 2 right off the bat right there. Rest of their schedule, they got to play the Chiefs. That would probably be a prime time game. I mean, they are so – they have to play San Francisco. That will probably be a prime time game. They will, you know, use up their allotment of 5 to 6 prime time games should Tom Brady end up in Miami. That's just, once again, not saying I agree with the move. That's just the reality if this were to happen. That's the reality. So if you were to come to Miami, you can pencil in 5 or 6 primetime games. I actually hate primetime games. I like to watch my Miami Dolphins Sundays at 1. That's just how I like to watch them. But, you know, something to keep in mind here. So, I mean, Tom, that would break the internet. That would break our website, I think. I think our site would crash if Tom Brady ends up signing with Miami. It'd be great for business. But I think, first off, half the fan base is going to hate it, if not more than half. Because there's not a fiber in their body that can root for the guy. Me, as I've said in previous months when we've talked about this story, you know, I am a diehard Yankees fan. I rooted for Wade Boggs as a Yankee. I rooted for Roger Clemens as a Yankee. To me, once a guy leaves a team, he left the team. And if Tom Brady joins the Dolphins, I'd have no issues rooting for Tom Brady as a member of the Dolphins. That's just me and how I'm wired. I know some other fans, they can't let things go. And they just, it's very hard for them to root for somebody like that. But how I'm wired, that doesn't bother me in the least. So I'd be okay with it. Still not in favor of the move. Just saying, if it happens, you know, wow. Wow.
This, I mean, it would be very significant. And knowing myself, I'll probably be waking up periodically throughout the night thinking
me too.
That her phone buzz.
I'm not going to sleep now. I'm really not going to sleep. And if you see something, you better text me. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. If you see something, you better text me, Tom.
Will do. Okay. Yeah, the other thing, too, and we want to keep this in mind because, again, everything's still pretty fluid. The Dolphins aren't done.
No.
Yet. Outside of this potential Brady thing, which I don't think is still going to happen, but they still are in for Melvin Gordon. It looks like they're still trying to figure out terms of a deal. So if they can work out terms of a deal, Melvin Gordon will be a Dolphin.
Potential offensive line. They're going to add.
I think there's going to be another. Yes, I think there's going to be another offensive lineman signed, whether it's center, whether it's a guard, or whether it's like a right tackle or a left tackle. I believe the Dolphins are still not done, and I think Melvin Gordon is still on their radar. I just think Melvin Gordon has to take a little bit less money than he thinks, and I think the Dolphins will get him signed, probably like a 3-year deal, front loaded, first 2. And draft a running back with your, you know, within your first 5 picks.
And yeah, because you got the right tackle for the Jets there, Brandon Shell. I know he was on the radar. He was being talked about in the Miami Herald a few days ago. You have the center for the Ravens, who you liked a lot. And Tom, I got to give you credit. You wrote that one article, about a week ago? And not all the moves came true, but a lot of the moves came pretty damn true and pretty accurate to what you put in that article. So you did quality work there. I know that center for the Ravens, I think, was in the article. He's out there. He is out there. That would be a great move for Miami to put him at center, if not the guy for the Patriots. So offensive lineman, I think they're going to sign at least one more, possibly 2. But if they do sign 2, one of those guys might just be for depth and not be someone you pencil in as a starter. But I think they're going to sign 1 to 2 more offensive linemen. I think they'll probably sign a veteran running back, whoever that may be, if it's not Melvin Gordon. And obviously Tom Brady watch is now on. And also, pass rusher, I think we'll see something there maybe. Who knows? And still, look, at any time, Albert Wilson could still be cut to free up $10 million. And if they're in on Brady, I would think Wilson would have to go because they're going to need that money to pay Tom Brady. Not that they are in bad salary cap shape, but they're going to want as much salary cap space as possible so they can still sign some other players. So that's something to keep an eye on there. Tom, this was a full show. Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
The NFL draft it will happen the weekend of April 23rd to 25th. It won't have fans, and I don't think it won't be in Vegas. You were going. I feel awful for you and for all these fans who were going. What are your thoughts on the draft being moved? You had the hotel booked for months. You had the flight booked for months. I was sick to my stomach when all this broke, with this whole thing with the virus, because not just for you, but for all the fans of the Dolphins who had plans, who've been looking forward to this. Share your thoughts, because you're one of the people who you know, was going to be there live and in person.
Yeah, my hotel was booked 2 days after last year's draft. So I was excited, obviously, to go, but there's a bigger picture here. And if you are a fan of the Dolphins, or you're still thinking that you'd like to still travel to Vegas, just please be smart and heed the warnings that are happening right now. Vegas hotels are shut down. I believe either it started today or it's going to be starting soon. The Vegas hotels are shutting down for over 2 weeks. If Vegas shuts down, that tells you how serious this stuff is. So I'm disappointed. Yes. Do we still have the draft this year? Absolutely. They're not pushing it back. So we're still going to be able to find out who, you know, what the Dolphins are going to do. Are they going to move up? Are they going to stay? All these things are still on the table. The only difference is my live recordings will now come from my basement and not from Las Vegas. But overall, you know, it's very disappointing, but I as a fan and as a father, I completely understand. And I've already canceled everything. It's just not worth it to go at this time while this thing is happening.
Yep. And as we sort of spoke about as well, if you're a fan who planned on heading out to Vegas for this draft, you know, you're going to, you know, you'll be able to get out of the hotel and get your money back. The flight, you'll probably get a credit. Miami plays in Las Vegas this year. So if you still want to go to Vegas,
there you go.
See Miami play in Las Vegas. It might be in September, October, November, December. But if you still want to go to Vegas and do something Miami Dolphins related, you know, wait till they release the schedule. See when Miami plays in Vegas this year. And you can, you know, reschedule that trip later this year to go back out to Vegas to see Miami play. So that is a little bit of a silver lining, I think, for the fans of the Dolphins who did make plans and will probably get their airfare credited back to them with a voucher. Use the voucher to go back to Vegas later in the year to watch Miami play the Raiders then. There's things you can do. Obviously, if you want to use a voucher for something else, by all means you can. But if you just want, if you're like, I don't know what, now I have this voucher and I really don't have anywhere else to go back to Vegas, watch them play the Dolphins in 2020. But yeah, it's a scary time in this world. You know, it really is scary. And hopefully, you know, we don't turn into Italy. That's what I keep saying, Tom. We spoke about, I don't want to turn into Italy where this goes on for months and months on end and we can't leave our house, because that would be really scary. And if this does go on for months and months into June, you know, then you start looking at the NFL season being put in jeopardy on some level. And that's the last thing we want to see. Me, I'm a sports fan. March Madness, it stinks. NBA, I really don't care about the NBA. Hockey, I love the hockey playoffs. Major League Baseball, if they cut the season down in half, I ain't going to, you know, whatever. They play way too many games anyways. But when you get to the NFL, and we're not there yet, but if this goes on until, you know, May, June, July, then you're going to start inching into what's the NFL going to do, because they're not going to be able to play a full season. That's when this is going to really start to become annoying. And hopefully, you know, our doctors, our scientists, the people here in charge of this country can get a hold on this and we can get past this as quickly as possible, because it's scary right now.
Very. And, you know, we may have a lot of time on our hands in our homes pretty soon, but everyone just make sure you stay safe, adhere to the rules, don't do anything crazy, stay healthy, and we're all going to get through it. You know, this is something that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that's going to happen. We may never see this sort of thing again, but there's just nothing that can stop this virus other than making sure you're safe and secure.
Follow the rules. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't stand on top of people. And I'm going to say this now, and then we'll wrap the show up. You know, I've seen pictures of people on the beaches still. There was a party in Orlando at Walt Disney World, because they're shutting down. But I guess Sunday night was their final night. There's people going out and parties. There's like thousands of people standing on top of each other. People, go home. You can't be doing this. Is not a hoax. This is not fake news. This is not a joke, okay? When they tell you don't be in crowded situations, that means everybody, and you're everybody. So tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, if I go online and see, you know, I know a lot of these states have shut down bars and stuff. If I see people on social media, you know, packed into a house, having their beers, people, you can skip St. Patrick's Day for a year. The sky's not going to fall because this is bigger than any individual person. And right now, you know, as a community, as this, you have to follow the rules because it's not just you. You're harming other people you're in contact with. So that will really piss me off tomorrow if I go on social media and see a bunch of St. Patrick's Day parties because it's like, people, this is not a joke. This is as serious can be. And you look at the world, China, Italy, they've been going through this for months. It just got here. And people are complaining about lines at a supermarket. You haven't seen the worst of this thing yet. You haven't even come close to seeing the worst of this thing. So follow the rules. So that's how we're going to end the show.
Yes.
That's how we're going to end the show. Everyone, be sure to check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. As soon as news breaks, we'll have it up on the website. Follow us on Twitter, at Dolphins Talk and at Dolphins Talk Tom. As soon as news breaks, we're having it up on the website. We're having it out on social media, on our Twitter feeds. We're going to do a radio show probably every day, a podcast every day, as long as there's big, significant news, which it looks like there's going to be big, significant news. And if the Tom Brady news breaks, everyone take a deep breath. You know, stay calm and just, you know, don't flip out. Okay. Yeah. Don't flip out. Don't start, you know, throwing your Dolphins hats and jerseys out into a fire pit. Don't start cursing people. Just relax. If he's, look, the guy's 42 years old. He ain't going to be here that long. If he does sign, you ain't got to put up with him for that long, at most 1 or 2 years. So just relax. If it does happen, everyone stay calm. And oh boy, if that happens, Tom. Okay. Oh, so, man. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great Monday night. Have a great Tuesday whenever you're listening to this. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.